And now, the time fight fans all across the globe have been waiting for. It's the MTMV main card with your man, The Voice. As always, in the opposite corner, my mano y mano, my verbal sparring partner, Philly's finest, Wildress Ruffy.
What's happening? Look at this. It's 7:15, it's smoke o'clock, and we here, we on time. Shout out to the producer.
Yes, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another amazing episode of the main card. As you said, my name is Wildress. To the left or right of me, depending on how you see in the screen, is my mano Imano, the man, the myth, the legend, the man with his own t-shirt. You see the halo on his head, but he ain't gonna tell you he's Jesus. It's The Voice.
I'm not gonna tell you I'm Jesus, because I'm not. I'm just trying to be like him.
Amen. There you go. Voice, how you doing, sir?
Oh, fighting a good fight, and it is well.
Good, man. Good. I hope you're ready, man. We got an amazing show today. We're going to discuss some of the greatest news in boxing and combat sports. We got a championship fight for you. We got a rematch for you, so we're running it back. And then we have an amazing, amazing PFL versus Bellator get down. But let's go ahead and get into these KOs and low blows first. Voice, you ready?
Did Mac McClung actually win the dunk contest?
Hands down.
Okay.
Even though the judges all in there thought they was Stevie Wonder, because I don't know what was going on.
Did Jaylen Brown get the benefit of the doubt?
He got more than the benefit of the doubt. He got that I'm a New Orleans.
He got that halo.
He got the I'm a New Orleans Saints fan. We don't ever win, but we're gonna give him a participation trophy. Action. He got that.
He got robbed on the glove dunk. Anyway, let's go.
That was his man in the mirror dunk. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Michael was saying he was standing at the man in the mirror. He did forget to close on himself so he could actually do a blind dunk. But like Miles said, he was dabbing instead. Let's go ahead and get into these KOs and low blows. Now, to avoid a controversial finish to the Fury-Usyk fight, which has seen a number of turns back and forth going on, World Boxing Council head Mario Suleiman is actually requesting that extra judges be added. Now, I feel like this is unprecedented, but one of the things he said is sometimes every judge has a bad day, and he wants to ensure that this doesn't happen again. So, Voice, what are your thoughts on this? Is this a controversial decision, or should this set precedent for major future bouts? As we've seen some bouts within the past year where, you know, the scorecard said one thing, but the fans and boxing pundits said the other.
This is really dangerous. It's really dangerous because you're saying that the judges are inept. That you're concerned that they're not going to get it right. What do you do for all the other fights, though? That's why it's dangerous. So you're telling me, you know, my fight is not as important as this fight when, you know, my fight is making money too. When a unjust decision impacts my earning ability as well. It's a really slippery slope to do what he's doing.
Do you feel like maybe this is an issue? If they feel like something so precedent is needed, because this is a major fight. This may be probably the biggest fight that we've had in a couple of years between these two.
Yeah.
Do you feel like this is a situation where maybe there should be more training for the refs? I mean, for the judges, maybe there should be some kind of incentive-based system that actually allows judges to fight call the bigger fights? Or do you just think that maybe this is something that should be added to every bout moving forward?
Again, you're setting a very dangerous precedent because you're saying the judges are either crooked or they're inept. Either way it goes, you're the one, WBC, IBF, WBA, WBO, WBU, IBO, NABO, whoever. You are the ones that are appointing them. So it's incumbent upon you to ensure that your officials are official. If they're not up to snuff, if you think that they may be getting paid off, if you think that they're just not doing a good job, get rid of them and get someone in there who's not being paid, who will do a good job. But that's on you. This is kind of messy.
I agree. Before we move on, what do you think? And I thought about this earlier today. What do you think about making those judges available to the media in the same way they do NBA refs, you know, when they have to speak to the media? Do you think maybe that would create more of a accountability, responsibility type thing? Or do you just think, like you said, you know, maybe there should be changes made overall?
That could help, because if you're able, it's like anything else. If you're not being held accountable for something, then you can do what you want to do, because there's no penalty for doing differently. Now, if they had to answer to the media, that may cause them to be a bit more focused during fights. You know, it may cause them to be less likely to be persuaded by outside influences. So, yeah, it could help. It's something that has been asked for, I know, on the MMA side for quite some time, you know, especially the referees. Like, okay, you stopped the fight. Can you tell me why you stopped the fight? Because it doesn't look like you should have stopped it, or, you know, whatever. But we are human beings dealing with a flawed system. And as long as there are humans involved, you're going to have stuff like this happen.
Definitely understandable. Well, we're gonna have a probably a lot more coverage on that coming up. It's only February 20th that he actually made that request, and the bout is May 18th. So I'm sure they're gonna go back and forth on that as far as discussing exactly what they feel about that. So we'll be sure to cover that in case there are any kind of updates going on. Now, going to something that I just thought was amazing when we actually first talked about this. In the midst of UFC's 300 main event drama, it was actually revealed that current welterweight champion Leon Edwards actually accepted three major bouts to headline the event. Now, Dana White actually made this announcement, called him a stud, spoke very highly of Leon, and Leon's response, all work is easy work. Now, voice, we've talked about Leon on this show a bunch of times before and how great of a fighter he is and how he completely stands tall with everything he does. But what does this say about the champ, and of the three fighters that were chosen for him, which bout would have the biggest impact?
That is a great question. I would say the biggest impact would have to be Islam, even though Islam is coming up from a different weight class. Actually, that's what makes it bigger, because he has been so dominant, because he is the heir apparent to Khabib. For him to come up another weight class and fight Leon and even possibly beat him, that's huge. That is huge. That's bigger than beating Khamzat, who was already supposed to be in the running for it, but he couldn't manage his weight properly. That'd be bigger than beating Shavkat, even though Shavkat has stopped every single person that he's fought, because Shavkat is in that weight class and is supposed to be fighting for that title. The fight between Leon and Islam would be like the main event that they wound up going with, being Pereira and Hill. It's something that we would not have seen coming. And because we didn't see it coming, it will make it that much more meaningful.
I mean, it's amazing to hear, when we are constantly hearing about fighters saying, no, I'm not going to fight this person, no, I'm not going to fight that person. And to hear Leon Edwards literally say, listen, I'm with the action. Like, whatever smoke they want to bring, let's get it on. I think that's amazing to hear. They're calling him the welterweight king right now, voice. Oh, yeah. I don't want to get too ahead, because I do know, like, you know, he is dominating at the top right now. But usually when you kind of put that on somebody, that's when they end up getting knocked out in the next bout, and then you're restarting that whole discussion. So that's going to be great. I'm looking forward to seeing actually who he ends up facing next. But one person that we know who has already chosen his dance partner is Michael Chandler. Now, Voice, your favorite crossover promotion happened yesterday, Monday Night Raw, when Michael Chandler was on Monday Night Raw and challenged Conor McGregor literally in front of the live crowd, and the crowd went crazy. Now, this is all happening amid the promotions for TKO Promotions, the Anaheim Takeover, which saw both promotions actually run events of the same week at the Honda Center. Now, Voice, we know your love for WWE, okay? With TKO literally merging UFC and WWE together, now you can't avoid it. So we know you love to hear it.
I can avoid it.
Should this be a one-off, or is this the beginning of a combat sports renaissance?
Why did you
say that? Let's hear it. Let's hear it, Voice.
It's not combat sports. You have a choreographed show. It's like Disney on Ice. Except it's not on ice, it's on the canvas. It's Disney on canvas. So hold on. It's a choreographed show. Does it take athleticism? Absolutely. Does it take skill and ability? Yes, it does. Is it combat sports? No, it is not. It's not a sport. Like, movies are not sports. They're not. And it's the same thing. You have fight choreography in the movies. You have fight choreography being played out. You have storylines in movies. You have storylines in the show. It's not. So now you ask, is this a preview of things to come? Depends how things worked out this past weekend.
That wasn't the question, sir.
What was the question? Because you came up and said some combat sports, and it's not.
In all of the hateration and holleration that you put out into the atmosphere, okay, these are athletic giants, okay? They are getting physical in the ring, whether the moves are being called or not, and they're really tearing parts of their body to entertain people in the same manner that your Conor McGregor is doing in the octagon when he's acting on a consistent basis.
No.
Now, the question, sir, the question, counselor, I'm talking to you like a lawyer now. The question, counselor, is, with this crossover promotion, which was amazingly done, especially in the Anaheim area, it created a great crossover for both events, because you heard about WWE fans going to UFC and vice versa. Do you believe that this is actually a combat sports renaissance?
No.
It's not. Combat, whether you like it or not.
It's not a sport.
The WWE is now a part of combat sports.
It's not a sport. No. Next question.
Is this the beginning of a combat sports renaissance, Voice? Why or why not, sir?
You didn't ask that question. You said, is it?
That is
and the answer to that was no. I was going to say it in a bunch of different languages. In Spanish, no. In French, no. In English, no. In German, nine. I don't know any other languages to say it in, but whatever the language is, no. It is not a renaissance because it's not sports. Now, here's another property that's owned by TKO, Professional Bull Riding Association. Now, if they did all of that together, they bleed. Timeless. it's combat. It's combat against the animal.
If the bull hits you in the face, that's combat.
Yeah.
Now you.
But do you call that a combat sport? No, you don't.
Because that is a combat sport. If I got to fight for my life, boss,
it is not.
If I got to fight for my life, boss, that's combat. Now, what you just wasted a whole KOs and low blows hating on the great WWE, which you're going to have to get used to, and that's okay. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're watching, ask your questions about WWE. We're going to ease the voice into this, okay? There you go.
Look,
comment time.
I know that it's worthwhile. And TKO was wonderful in doing all this because they know scripted things. They know all about it. This company is a representative of actors.
Hey, Voiceman, you come down to Orlando, I'm going to take you to the Performance Center. We're going to see if you say that to them. Before we wrap up and before we go to break, what are your true thoughts on this, on the way this cross promotion happened over
weekend? I loved it. It was great. I love seeing both of the belts out there. I love that they used some of this is great because the UFC is very careful in promoting because of one Conor McGregor. They're very careful in promoting because they're concerned that if they make anyone too big, then it becomes difficult for them when it comes to negotiation and fights and things of that nature. Even though Dana said that Conor's never been a problem to work with fight-wise. Okay. But it makes it difficult, so they don't want people to get too big. I think it's wonderful, and especially with the tie-in that these two have always had. You know, when wrestling was not professional, you know, they were going at it because it is a martial art. And many martial artists have gone between both for eons since the beginning, going all the way back to Ken Shamrock, who wrestled professionally in Japan when he was starting to take, or I should say when he began competing in UFC 1. He was already doing professional wrestling. So this has always been the case. So it's a perfect marriage. I think it's wonderful, but don't call it a sport.
It's a sport. Now, a perfect, you brought up Ken Shamrock before we go to break. If you're a fan of Ken Shamrock, you can definitely go back and look. He actually had some great matches with Dan Severn in WWF when it was WWF, and they actually fought in the cage. So there were certain periods of time where they actually did MMA fighting in there, and there were special occurrences. Of course, you had Brock Lesnar, who I'm not sure. I believe he's no longer with the company. But you've had a number of people, including Matt Riddle, who've actually made the transition over to wrestling successfully. Rousey, so,
Shayna Baszler.
Yeah, Ronda Rousey. Shayna Baszler's currently there now. So there's a number of wrestlers. So I believe it's great. And from what I'm hearing, there are going to be a lot more of those cross-promotional weekends that are actually going to happen moving forward. Ladies and gentlemen, that was KOs and Low Blows. Y'all see what the voice did all that time that he wasted instead of answering the question.
Ask better questions.
He would love NXT. And when we come back, we're going to take a quick break and get into our amazing sponsor, Ozell. When we come back, we're going to get into PFL Bellator and a rematch that apparently one Brandon didn't want against another Brandon. We'll be right back.
It's not just about the love of the game. It's about dedication and commitment through the process and the patience to endure. There's joy in reaching your goals and peace in knowing you've done all you're supposed to do. Ozell Brand. It's not just a brand, it's a lifestyle.
Awesome. Shout out to Ozell Brand, man. Amazing sponsor. Voice. We got an exciting bout to get into that I know that you're going to love. Now, when both Heenan Ferreira and Ryan Bader have a huge opportunity coming up. Now, they're going to be facing off against each other in the Bellator versus PFL event. That's going to be taking place February 24th at the Kingdom Arena in Riyadh. Now, and what can be built as a David versus Goliath matchup. Now, there's a 6'2 Bader against the 6'8 Heenan. A major thought amongst them, both being the bragging rights for their respective promotions. But if you ask them, boys, a win sets up what they both hope to be a dream opportunity against Francis Ngannou. Now, as Bader recently said, a former UFC champion that had an amazing fight with Tyson Fury, if I can go out there and get that win against Heenan, that would be amazing. I'm not looking past Heenan, but if I could beat him and then beat Francis, it'd be great. Now, for that added, that's a part of the plan. I'd love to welcome him into PFL. I feel like it's undeniable. And if everything goes as planned against Bader, Francis is the name. And he said, if he wants to do it in MMA or if he wants to do it in boxing, let's go. Now, Voice, these are strong comments from both fighters. This is an exciting event that's actually being put on. And from what I understand, Bader actually checked to see if certain holds were actually going to be allowable in this. And he was actually told yes. So this is going to be something that's going to be amazing to see from both of them. What are your thoughts on this? And is Francis Ngannou really the answer to the winner for this bout?
I love the fight in that you have two heavyweight champions going against each other. You have in Heenan, a man who all of his victories under the PFL banner have come in spectacular fashion. 6 wins, 6 knockouts. Now, the area where he, where things are a little shaky is that he's had more than those fights. He's had about two or three fights that have been no contest under the Bellator banner. One because someone popped positive for PEDs. One because he tapped and the ref didn't see it, so they let him keep going and then he knocked the dude out. And another one, you know, was just stopped on something else. So he's lost, you know, on multiple occasions. He hasn't always lost on paper, but he's lost on multiple occasions. And the things that have led to his downfall are the things that Bader does well. Bader is a wrestler. Something else that makes this or puts this in Bader's favor is that it's only a 3-round fight. Bader's been fighting 5-round fights, you know, probably for the past 7-8 years. So the fact that he doesn't have to go 5 rounds, that he can give it his all, work to get him down and keep him down like other people have done, it really plays in Bader's favor. Again, Heenan is no joke. He has dynamite in his hands, and this is the heavyweight division. As you love to say, all it takes is one, and his ones go boom. Oh, that was terrible. That was terrible. Can we do that over again?
Well, go ahead.
His ones weigh a ton.
Woo!
where my horns, producer?
Let me not
say that because he gonna do a record scratch.
Or he gonna say something wild. Now it's amazing. It's dope that you brought that up. And one of the things I actually looked into in preparation. Ooh, now it's getting me. One thing I looked up in preparation for this is realizing that of his 12 wins, Problema has KO'd 10 of his opponents, with the last 3 coming in the first or early second round. Mm. So I mean, if Bader's gonna do work, he got to do work early or he going to be made out of mashed potatoes before it's over with. So that's going to be a great, great bout. Make sure you all tune into that. I know Voice is excited for Bellator versus PFL. What were you wanting to say, Voice?
I forgot to talk about Ngannou. Yes, yeah. Of course the winner's going to face Ngannou. Before they set this fight up, I just knew that Bader was going to fight Ngannou. I was like, oh, he's in the PFL. That is the best fight that the PFL has to offer now that PFL owns Bellator. Like, that's a done deal. They want Bader to win because of everything that I said. Well, let me not say that. If Fedeta beats Bader, then that's even better for them because it gives more validity to their in-house champion versus the one that they just brought in.
So with Fedeta's comments about MMA or boxing, let's say he wins, which route do they go in there?
It's MMA. They're not boxing. The man's not a boxer. He can barely win in MMA.
Well, he said boxing voice. I mean, he said
I know what he said, but no.
Hey, I mean, when you want smoke anywhere it's gonna come. Now it's you don't get a choice of how the smoke comes, it just comes.
He said he wants to go down in history as one of the great Brazilian MMA champions. MMA, not boxing, MMA.
All right, well, then you have it. Make sure y'all following the voice on Twitter, X, or whatever you call it, so that you get those spicy takes, because just by his reaction, I know they're going to be there for that. Now, in another gray bout that's coming, due to an undisclosed injury, Brandon Moreno will be facing off a familiar face when he returns to fight in his home country to face Brandon Royval at UFC Fight Night 237. That's going to be taking place on February 24th at the Arena CDMX in Mexico City. Now, the Brandons previously faced off at UFC 255 when Moreno defeated Royval by first round TKO. Now, since their last bout, it's very ironic if you look at their records. The two have nearly identical records at 3-2, with Moreno having a draw due to the UFC 256 bout, which was called, and that was actually for the flyweight championship. Now, ironically, Voice, both are coming off of losses to the current flyweight champion, Alejandro Pantoja.
Pantoja. Mm-hmm.
Pantoja. Now, see, that's not how to pronounce me said to do it. So I don't know if you right or they right.
I'm right, I'm always right, because I tell you, don't listen to AI. AI will have you talking like me with a lisp. That's what AI'll do.
Now, when I was in third, fourth grade, I actually talked with a lisp, and I heard the producer. I don't really know how I feel about that. That was a weird laugh. Now, they actually lost to the champion both in championship bouts, and ooh. Did you see the list? Now, they're both actually hoping that a win sets them up for a rematch with the current champion. Now, speaking with MMA Junkie Radio, Moreno took the opportunity to actually throw a little shade at Royval, stating, "I know Brandon Royval is going to come very motivated. He has nothing to lose and everything to win. For me, it's just make a statement and keep my name there for the flyweight championship in the future. I was excited for the fight against Amir Albazi, because new body, new game plan, new everything. So I was excited for that. But then he had to pull out for an injury. This is somehow some of the sport works. And I understand. Brandon Royval jumped for the opportunity. It's tiring. It's boring. But a fight is a fight. And a win is a win. And I need this win to keep my name out there." Now, Voice, the disrespect is loud there. What are your thoughts on this bout? Amir was actually number two. Now, currently, this can really dictate what actually happens next. But does a win by Royval allow him to jump those two fighters for that flyweight championship bout?
We'll go last first. Royval just fought for the title. He lost to Pantoja for the title. Same with Moreno. So, really, a win by Royval, I don't think gets him another shot, because that was a very clear victory by Pantoja. Whereas with Assassin Baby, you have a story there. He has, or I should say, Pantoja's had his number for quite some time, and he's been looking to remedy that and to win. And the fight was close when he lost to Pantoja, being Moreno this last time. So there's more of a story there. Albazi, he may have to fight again. Really, the winner of this fight probably will fight Albazi if he does not go ahead and fight anyway. I think both of them still really need another fight. The person I think would have most claim will be Moreno, because it wouldn't be an immediate rematch. Now, with this rematch, it was a fluke. Now, granted, if you get hurt, you lose. That's the way that the rules go. But it wasn't like he hurt himself, or I should say, it wasn't like Moreno caused a shoulder injury. He didn't. So having this one come back together, I think it's really good because hopefully it'll give us a very clear picture as to which one of these fighters is better. Now that Roy Vall has had that championship title fight experience, will he come in a little more measured? Because that's something that really has been his downfall. He goes for submission over position, and you know, he gets really wild and really happy and goes and does stuff, and it opens him up for counters and puts him out of position, and really has led to his downfall when it comes to fighting. So that excitement is great, but it's got to be measured.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting how that plays out, because like you said, they both come off of losses to the champion. But when you look at the UFC flyweight rankings right now, literally, Moreno, Albazi, and Roy Vall are 1, 2, and 3. So is this a situation where there maybe needs to be a fix to the rankings? Because, I mean, they both lost, and they really didn't drop as you would have thought they would have.
Yeah, well, this should fix the rankings somewhat, because whoever loses should take a lower road. There really isn't much there, though, especially now that Deiveson Figueiredo is fighting at bantamweight. You know, it's time for someone else to come up. Kaikara France is out there. He's kind of had his chances and things of that nature. He hasn't really fought much. I think he's been out injured. So, I mean, there needs to be some movement at the top, but that would come from the bottom, I think, not from the top down.
Awesome. That's going to be an amazing fight. That's going to be UFC Fight Night 237. I believe that's also going to be UFC on ESPN Plus, so make sure that you catch on to that. It's going to be live from Mexico City. Moreno will be returning home, so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Now, in our final fight that we'll be covering during the show, Alex Santiago is going to be defending his WBC World Bantamweight title against Junto Nakatani. Now, this is a rough one because he's not only fighting the odds and an undefeated fighter, but he'll be fighting against history, as Nakatani is looking to become a part of history and become a three-weight world champion. Now, the 26-year-old undefeated Japanese fighter previously fought against it, but felt that moving up in weight class was a natural progression for his career. And boy, some of the stuff that he says about this is amazing and scary at the same time. He said, "I would have to admit that my weight issue was a decisive factor and moving up a weight class. I knew I could have stayed at junior bantamweight a bit longer, but when I actually moved up a weight class, I felt my body getting bigger and bigger. Mm. I don't feel any change myself, but some of those who've come around to the gym eagerly commented that I box faster and sharper. Mm. I see these objective observations in a positive light and will try to showcase more of my ability in the fight." And you got to remember, Nakatani is 26-0 with 19 knockouts. Now, the man that the media has called the next monster, which is a nod, of course, to Nao Inoue, is looking to create and build his own legacy. Once, so that impressive 26-0 record, he's looking to build on that. Now, Santiago, of course, is coming in as champ. And unfortunately, he's coming in as champ as a heavy underdog in this bout. Voice, what are your thoughts on this bout? And what are your thoughts on Nakatani literally moving up weight and getting bigger and faster in the process?
I love the bout because you have Santiago, the champion, the grizzled vet, who has been in there with the likes of Gary Antonio Russell. He has defeated his idol, his self-proclaimed idol, in Nonito Donaire in his last bout. He's fought to a draw against Yerwin Ancas. He has been in there with the best of the best, fighting against this up-and-comer, this new monster, as some may want to say, in Nakatani, who is no slouch at all, who is he's not a novice when it comes to being in the big-time fights, because, as you stated, he has won titles at two different weight classes already. For him to come up in weight and to say, you know what, I actually feel stronger and better at this weight class than I did in cutting to get down to that lower weight, that's scary. That is super scary. How will he perform in this new weight class? we need to see. I know what they're saying in the gym. A lot of things get said in the gym. I remember when Tito and Chuck fought for the third time, and we saw all that craziness. Like, Tito, I mean, Chuck looks horrible. It's like, no, but in the gym, you know, other things are happening. Yeah, like naps, because he looked horrible. He looked just as horrible in the cage as he did hitting mitts. So I want to see what he looks like at this, but the way that Top Rank has this set up, it's a perfect opportunity for Junto to take the next step in his progression and really catapult himself into stardom the way that now he may not be able to be as big as in a way, but hey, if you can be a B-side to in a way, or I should say a 1B or just a B period, like in a way is number one, you number two, you're doing really good.
I mean, that's an impressive honor to put on someone, especially considering everything that Moss has done. I mean, he was literally Fighter of the Year, something that we talked about on one of the past episodes of the show. Santiago is really up against it. Now, Nakatani has KO'd 7 of his last 10 opponents. Santiago is the winner of his last 4. They're all coming by decision. And the funny part of where power meets smarts is, while he has those 3 losses, he's never been KO'd. So that's going to be an interesting fight to see. Also, make sure that you tune into that. We'll, of course, be following Voice and his awesome banter, as we like to call it, on that fight. Also, that's going to actually round up your amazing, amazing weekend of combat sports fights. Voice, give us some final fights that we should be looking into.
Man, you ask me if any of the fights were the Voice marquee matchup, and I said no, because there's so many other wonderful fights. So many other wonderful fights. You see our videos versus Mexico on Mexico in Mexico again. Absolutely phenomenal fight. The winner, especially with Ilya being the champion now, opens up everything at 145. The winner of this bout could very well be facing off for the title. And if it's Rodriguez, the interim champ previously, oh man, yeah, that would be huge and phenomenal. That's on the UFC card. On the PFL Bellator Champions card, you have Emperor Kasanganai, the man who was most famously known for getting knocked out by St. Louis's own new Mansa. That's right, St. Louis, stand up. My man, no, I said all that, now I see his face and I'm forgetting his name. But he know who he is. You know who new Mansa is. Yeah, I know who new Mansa is. You know that jump spinning back kick to knock Emperor Kasanganai not only out, but pretty much out of the UFC. He went the hard way through the PFL Challenger Series and went all the way to the top, won the title. Now he's dropping back down to 185 to face off against the man at 185 that many people have said is probably, or at least at certain points, has been the best at 185 in recent years, being Johnny Eblen. And you all know me, I am as unbiased as I can be, unless you're talking about people from St. Louis, like Joaquin Buckley. That's right, Joaquin Buckley. That's new Mansa. Or Nigerians. Now, none of them Nigerians. Somebody announced Joaquin might be, I don't know. But your man Eblen went to Mizzou. And we've had the opportunity to chop it up on more than one occasion. So, yeah, Emperor, hey, God, you know, God bless you. Millionaire now, salute to you. But you're getting ready to run into probably the toughest challenge that you've ever had in the cage.
There you go. Shout out to Ty. Quick reminder, WWE Elimination Chamber, that's going to be at 5 a.m. That's going to be live from Perth, Australia.
5 a.m. to watch
a live event from Australia that is exciting, that's bringing in money, that your parent, that your favorite company's parent company said, hey, this is worth it. Let's do it. Come on, Wes. You got to cut the hate, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining in. Every Tuesday, 7:15 p.m. Eastern, is Smoke O'Clock. It's me, the man, the myth, the legend. I'm not the voice. I'm Wildress. Wow. Thank you all for tuning in. MTMV Sports, make sure you like, share, subscribe. Make sure you follow us. Hit those comments. Tell us what you want to see us talk about in KOs and low blows. If you have any questions you'd like us to cover, if you have any big bouts coming up that you want to know more about, let us know. We'll be happy to add them to the show when they're actually getting closer to the release of those. Make sure that you are following us on all platforms. If you can't watch these beautiful faces while you're driving, you can always listen to us on your favorite podcast, on your favorite podcast network. So make sure you add us. We are everywhere. So you ain't got no excuses not to hear these amazing voices or see these amazing faces and this Wakanda skin that I'm constantly showing y'all on Mondays and Tuesday nights. Voice, give us your final words and take us out, boss.
Speaking of platforms, again, please subscribe to us on Spotify. That's right. Timeless keeps doing it. Like, subscribe, and share. Do what Timeless said. Don't do what's coming out of my mouth because we just got the fumbles today. We just doing all kind of stuff when it comes to that. But one thing that I can say, and I can say clearly, is until next time, fight the good fight. What's good, everybody? It's your man, the myth, the legend, the voice. Thanks so much for tuning into this show on MTMV Sports Network. For more exciting content just like this, subscribe, like, and share.